If you have faith in God and you don't doubt, you could tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea, and it would. Whatever you ask for in prayer will be yours if you only have the faith. Now, what's he talking about here? Telling a mountain to jump in the sea. God has set up the universe in a hierarchy of laws, and the law of faith is actually a higher law than the law or the laws of nature.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, as we continue this series called Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles, you're going to learn how to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to impact the world around you. Before we get started, we want to let you know that a very generous couple has pledged a $100,000 matching grant to Daily Hope. That means that all this month, every dollar donated to this ministry will be matched up to $100,000. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called, What Happens When You Have Faith?
Now, what happens when we see with eyes of fear and see with eyes of faith? Let's go over these real quickly. First, five things happen when we see with eyes of fear, and they're all here in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Number one, write these down. First, we exaggerate our difficulties. We exaggerate our difficulties. Now, here's an amazing thing. God has just delivered them from Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world, and yet now they're worried about some local tribe. They've just defeated Pharaoh. And yet now they're worried about somebody else. And how quickly we forget, when you look at your problems with eyes of fear, they get bigger. And the more you look at your problem, the more the exaggerated it gets. Somebody criticizes you, the more you think about it, pretty soon you think the whole world's criticizing you. It grows by proportion. Numbers 13, verse 27, 28. Here was the negative report. It's a magnificent land, said the negative spies. But, and there's always a big but, it's a magnificent land, but the people living there are powerful and their cities are fortified and large. And what's more, we saw Anakim giants there. Now, the Anakim were of the tribe of Skywalker, and the force was strong with them. And that's another story. Sorry, I got confused there. The next verse, 31 and 32, says, other spies said, they'd crush us. So the majority report of the spies was negative. I want to point out something here. The majority report is almost always negative. Anybody who's going to get something done in this world is going to have to go against the majority report. Because the majority of people are going to be looking with eyes of fear, not eyes of faith. And they said, we see these people and they'd crush us. That word there actually in Hebrew is akal, which means to eat up. It means to devour. I said, man, they'd eat us alive. They're like cannibals. They're bullies. They're tyrants. They're NFL backers. They're going to take us on and we'll be crushed. Only two of the spies have faith, Joshua and Caleb, and yet the people always trust the minority. No, they always trust the majority report because there's always more worriers and there's always more naysayers and there's always more critics and more fearful, fretful, negative people. Now, here's the problem. Negative attitudes are contagious. When they walked up there to the edge, everybody was excited about going into the promised land. It was only when 10 come back and said, we can't do it, that everybody changed their mind. And they began to get infected with a negative attitude. Now, here's what's ironic. They said, this place is filled with giants, and we can't take them on, and they're too heavy. They're too big for us and too powerful. Ironically, 38 years later, when the next generation did get to go into the promised land, you know what the enemy said? They said, we have lived in panic for 40 years because we heard about the 10 plagues of Egypt. And we heard about what your God had done against the most powerful leader in the world, Pharaoh, and we were scared to death, and we were ready to surrender. We were ready to surrender. So you needlessly walked around in the wilderness for 40 years because we were scared to death of you. We exaggerate our difficulties. Second thing we do when we see of eyes of fear, we underestimate our own abilities. We exaggerate the problem, but we underestimate our own abilities. And in verse 33 of Numbers 13, it says this: we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Now, you talk about low self-esteem. That's saying we're insects. We're just a bunch of bugs compared to those guys. They're going to eat us for lunch. We can't do that. And notice they say, we saw ourselves like grasshoppers in our own eyes. That's their own self-image. And it says, and we looked the same to them. How do they know how they looked to the enemy? They didn't. There's a word for this. It's called projection. You tend to project your fears on everybody else around you. And that's what they're doing there. They're projecting their fears. They'd been slaves for 400 years. They'd been freed for 40, but they're still mentally enslaved in a condition they still see themselves as helpless. And they still see themselves enslaved. They're enslaved not by a Pharaoh now, but by an idea, by an image, by a self-concept. Now, let's just stop here for a minute. Because many years ago, people said things about you and to you and behind your back that you overheard that were not true, but you believed them. They're not even in your life anymore. Some of them are even dead, and you're still believing their lives. You're still enslaved to their image of you. And you had somebody, a parent or a partner or a friend or a brother or sister who said, you're uncoordinated. And so you think you're uncoordinated. Or you're never going to amount to much. So you think you're never going to amount to much. You're not good at speaking, or on and on. They told you all those things. You're not in Egypt anymore. That's a self-imposed prison. You're seeing with eyes of fear instead of eyes of faith. And so we overestimate the problem, and we underestimate our abilities. You know, it was funny that it said that some of the spies saw these guys and said, they were tall, and they said, these guys are giants. What's interesting is later when they went in, they found out that the taller people were actually the most calm and the most peaceful. And they had nothing to be afraid of. The tall people were not even warriors. It's just they all had it in their mind. Third thing that happens when you see with eyes of faith, fear, we get discouraged. First, they overestimate the problem. Second, they underestimate their own ability. We're like insects. We're just grasshoppers. Third, they get discouraged. And in Numbers 14:1, it says, then all the people began weeping aloud, and they carried on all night. They had a giant pity party. Poor us. And they're now crying and weeping because they don't get to go into the promised land. What's keeping them out? Their fear. They're not living by faith. We get discouraged. And then quickly we move to number four, and that is we move from discouragement to griping. We start to gripe about all of our lives and everything that's going to go wrong in our lives. And in verse 2, after the all-night pity party, it says, then all the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They picked on the leaders. We wish we had died in Egypt, they wailed. Or even here in the wilderness. Now notice, first they mourned, and now they murmur. And first they cry, and now they can complain. What it is, it's discontent. By the way, let me just say this to you. Highly critical people are always highly insecure people. It's dominated by fear. When you find somebody who's critical of other people, it's because they're incredibly insecure. And if I don't feel good about me, I certainly don't want you feeling good about you. So I'm going to criticize, and I'm going to complain, and I'm going to, you know, be against any success that you might have. But we underestimate our abilities, we get discouraged, we gripe about our lives, and then eventually, number five, next verse, we give up and we blame God.
That's Pastor Rick Warren. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Thanks for being with us for today's broadcast. A generous couple has stepped forward with a $100,000 matching grant that will double any gift you give up to $100,000 to help reach more people with the hope of Christ. When you give a financial gift to this ministry, we'll send you the all-new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal to say thanks. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. This special offer ends December 31st, so get your copy now when you give today at PastorRick.com or by calling 800-600-5004. And remember, your gift will be matched up to $100,000. So contact us right away. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. There are only 3 days left to get your gift matched up to $100,000 and to receive your very special prayer journal thank you gift. So please contact us right away. And thank you for your generous support.
Once again, here's Rick.
When you find somebody who's critical of other people, it's because they're incredibly insecure. And if I don't feel good about me, I certainly don't want you feeling good about you. So I'm going to criticize and I'm going to complain and I'm going to, you know, be against any success that you might have. But we underestimate our abilities, we get discouraged, we gripe about our lives, and then eventually, number five, next verse, we give up and we blame God. We give up and we blame God. Verse three, they said, why is the Lord, notice, why is the Lord bringing us to this land to be killed with swords? We'd be better off going back to Egypt. You know what they're saying there? We know better than God. We know better than God. Notice, they're blaming God for not letting them go in the promised land. God isn't holding them back. It's their fear that's holding them back. So they're second guessing. And now all of a sudden they're remembering the good old days of Egypt. Good old days. What was the good old days? 400 years of slavery. Why would anybody want to go back to Egypt? It was slavery, but it was safety. It was safe slavery. And a lot of people get stuck in safe slavery. And they're enslaved by a relationship, or they're enslaved by a fear, or they're enslaved by a habit, or they're enslaved by a compulsion, or they're enslaved by a thought that I have to do a certain thing. And to let go of that, they really don't like it, but at least it's predictable, it's comfortable. And I know what's in Egypt. And some of you are doing that. Some of you are confusing slavery and safety. They're not the same thing. You say, I know it's a bad situation, but at least it's predictable. And I know this habit is self-defeating, but it's comfortable. It's just who I am. It's what I do. It's who I am. There is no real freedom without taking risks. Safety and freedom are on opposite ends of the continuum. And you're either moving more towards safety and slavery, or you're moving more toward taking risks and freedom. God made you to be a risk taker. God made you to live by faith. Don't die in the desert. Now, let me contrast that with what the Bible says happens when we start to live our lives seeing everything by faith, learning to be a dreamer, learning to see God's vision, learning to look at things not as they are, but as they could be. How do you do that? And what difference does it make in my life? Well, let me explain these to you. Write these down. What happens when we see with eyes of faith? Six things. I could give you two dozen, but let me just give you six. Number one, faith shrinks my problems. The first thing that I do when I begin to open the eyes of my heart, Lord, and I begin to see what God is doing around me, and I begin to look at things from God's viewpoint, it shrinks my problem. It gives you a new perspective. See, when you see your problem from God's point of view, well, then everything gets a whole lot more manageable. If you have a big God, problems get small. If you got a small God, problems get big. Now, when you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, you're a big God and you can handle this problem, and I'm gonna give it to you, and I'm gonna just let you work it out. I'm trusting you, I'm seeing with the eyes of faith, let you work it out, then you can relax. And you say, well, how's it gonna be solved? You say, well, that's God's problem. It's not my problem, it's God's problem. Faith shrinks my problem. Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer is obviously no. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. Luke 1:37, Jesus says, for nothing is impossible with God. You know, if you were to come to my office and you were to go into my library and pull out my dictionary and look up the word impossible, you would find that the word impossible is not in my dictionary because 35 years ago, I cut it out. I said, if it's not in God's vocabulary, it's not in mine. The Bible says nothing is impossible with God. Faith shrinks my problems. Number two, faith opens the door for a miracle. Faith opens the door for a miracle. Faith can move mountains. You know, if you study the Bible and if you study history, you find that every time God moves out on earth and does a miracle, it's because somebody believed. Faith opens the door to miracles. Mark 11, Jesus said this, have faith in God. If you have faith in God and you don't doubt, you could tell this mountain to get up and jump into the sea. And it would. Whatever you ask for in prayer will be yours if you only have the faith. Now, what's he talking about here? Telling a mountain to jump in the sea. God has set up the universe in a hierarchy of laws, and the law of faith is actually a higher law than the law or the laws of nature. And that's where miracles come in. Because when faith is used, the law of faith goes into practice, and God set up the fact that the law of faith can actually do more than the laws of physics. You know, if you actually had the real faith, you can say, go jump into an ocean and the mountain would. And does God still perform miracles today? Of course he does. And during this, one of the reasons I'm excited about this campaign is that during this series, the Daring Faith series, Key to Miracles, we're going to see some miracles. Every time you stretch your faith, God does miracles. Every single time. So my question is, we're getting ready to start this series. What's the mountain in your life? What's the mountain that needs to be moved? What's the thing you look at that thing, it's never moved, it hasn't moved, it's not gonna move, it never will move. What is the mountain in your life that you are saying, it's never gonna change? Well, you've already decided it. That's a self-defeating and self-fulfilling prophecy. How do you know? Maybe God wants to do a law of faith superseding the law of nature. He has. He has in the past, he has in the present. He's done it all around the world. Faith opens the door for miracles. God is in the mountain moving business, but you must not doubt. Look at this verse on the screen. Matthew 13, 58 says, Jesus did not do many miracles. He's talking about that town there because of their lack of faith. Their lack of faith caused Jesus to not do many miracles. You say, I don't see any miracles in my life. I wonder why. Are you seeing with the eyes of fear? Or are you seeing with the eyes of faith? Faith shrinks my problems. It opens the door to miracles. And number three, faith moves God to act on my behalf. Faith moves God to act on my behalf. Now, don't get me wrong when I say this. It moves God to act on my behalf. I do not subscribe to the health and wealth theology where God really ends up being a servant, and that God serves you rather than you serving God. And in many versions of this, God becomes a genie where you rub the bottle and you pray the prayer, or you drop the 50-cent piece into the slot machine or whatever, and then you hit the jackpot. No, God is not your genie. God is God, and you're not, and he's not there to cater to your every whim. He's not. He's just not. But at the same time, Matthew 9:29, Jesus said this, according to your faith, it will be done to you. God says, you get to choose how much I bless your life. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Do you want to know why God has blessed my life? Not because I deserve it, because I don't. Not because I'm smarter than everybody else, because I'm not. God has worked in my life because I humbly expect him to. I expect him to use me. And God does exactly what you expect him to do. According to your faith, it will be done unto you. If you expect God to do a little in your life, he'll do a little. If you expect God to do a lot, he'll do a lot. If you don't expect God to do anything, he won't do anything. This is why I'm going to push you on your faith in this series. This is why I'm going to stretch you and challenge you. Because I don't want you to be satisfied with playing in Kitty Beach in the shallows of life. I want you to put on your big boy swimsuit and dive in the deep end. And I want you to challenge yourself to believe God more than you've ever believed him for.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today. But first, if you want to make your time in prayer the best it can be, then you're going to want to get a copy of the brand new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal. The theme is Growing Your Prayer Life. This vegan leather full-color prayer journal has sections to pray for specific people and situations, as well as space to express your gratitude and personal prayer requests to God. Each page is beautifully designed and filled with inspiring Bible verses, photos, and artwork. The Growing Your Prayer Life Prayer Journal is a spiritual growth tool designed to help you enjoy a vibrant prayer life, connect with the Lord, strengthen your prayer practice, and establish a consistent daily prayer time. When you give a financial gift to this ministry, we'll send you the all-new 2020 Daily Hope Prayer Journal to say thanks. Quantities are limited, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. By the way, this month only, any gift you give will be matched by a very generous couple up to $100,000. This match is only available until midnight on December 31st, so please contact us today. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you about an exciting new opportunity.
Did you know that the Bible promises that wherever God sends his word out, it will always produce results? It's a promise. It's a promise in Isaiah 55:11, where God says, "When I send my word out, it always produces fruit. It always accomplishes what I want it to, and it prospers everywhere I send it." That's in the Living Bible. I love that passage. And this is why we do what we do here at Daily Hope. We're constantly sending out God's word to give hope to people who have no hope and to tell them about the love and the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, we couldn't do this without your support. It's your prayers. It's your financial support that helps God send his word across the country and all around the world through Daily Hope broadcasts. You know, God has really blessed this ministry, and we say to him be the glory, but we still have many more people to reach. There are over 7 billion people in the world, and every one of them needs to know Jesus Christ. Many of them have never even heard the name of Jesus. And so this is our faith goal. You know, we started Daily Hope Ministry because we want to reach what we call the unreached, unengaged people groups. That's the about 3,000 remaining tribes in the world that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ. And there's still about 3,000 tribes where the name of Jesus has not been proclaimed. How do we get there? By taking this broadcast to what we call near neighbors and encouraging them to then go in and reach those people, we hope to one day finish and help complete the Great Commission as doing our part with everybody else who's doing their part to follow the command of Christ. As we tell others about the love of Jesus, God helps us to trust him even more. And of course, the Bible says, the more you help others, the more God blesses you. And so thank you for your gifts. I know that God is blessing you and will continue to bless you as you bless others. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Just want you to know that I love you. I thank God for you. I care for you. And I'm praying for you. God bless you.
There are only 3 days left to have your gift matched up to $100,000, so don't wait. Call 800-600-5004 to support Daily Hope, or you can visit PastorRick.com. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.